Ridge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. As President-elect Donald Trump plans his inauguration next month, there are some potential new wrinkles, says ABC's Mary Bruce.
Donald Trump has invited Chinese President Xi to attend his inauguration next month, an unusual move. And he also plans to invite other world leaders as well. But we've just learned that Chinese President Xi is declining that invitation, though he could send another high-level official in his place.
Final days of President Biden's term in office, and he's carried out the largest single-day act of clemency in American history, commuting the sentences of about 1,500 people. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Turkey said there's a growing consensus in the region to support the Syrian people following the ouster of Bashar Assad. Sources tell ABC News prosecutors in New York are presenting evidence to a grand jury as they work to secure an indictment against the suspected killer of the United Healthcare CEO and a monster wintry storm leaving a mess from Wisconsin to Rhode Island. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. In Yellowstone spinoff news, there will be a spinoff of Yellowstone. Deadline reports that Kelly Riley and Cole Hauser will continue their roles as Beth Dutton and Rip Wheeler in the offshoot. It looks like the two characters will survive the purge of Yellowstone cast members as characters have been killed off prolifically in season 5. The series finale airs this coming Sunday night. Hollywood loves to speculate. Wicked and Moana 2 have been raking in big returns when it comes to the box office, and that should continue through this weekend, with Deadline.com reporting that the Moana sequel should be number one again with roughly a $28 million haul, with Wicked in second place at about $20 million. If that holds true, both films will crush Marvel's extended Spider-Verse Kraven the Hunter and Warner Brothers' new Lord of the Rings film, which prognosticators are saying should open at about $15 million and $7 million respectively. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Packers and the Seahawks Sunday night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers take on the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday night football. Green Bay hoping some of their players are ready to return to action, like linebacker Edgerrin Cooper, who's been impressive as a rookie until he suffered a hamstring injury in practice 3 weeks ago.
It means a lot. It's been a long 3 weeks. I'm just ready to go out there and just play as hard as I could and make plays.
NBA, the Bucks are in Vegas. They face the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow at 3:30 in the NBA Cup semifinals. Women's college volleyball tonight, NCAA regionals, the Badgers in Lincoln, Nebraska, for a rematch with Texas A&M, a team they beat 2 months ago. Wisconsin C.C. Crawford asked how they've improved.
We've grown so much as a team, not only on the court, but off the court. One thing we worked on the beginning of the year was communication, and we've excelled in that. Obviously, we played them earlier in the season, but they're a different team now. It's been 2 months. Same thing for us. We're a different team now, so it'll be a fun matchup.
That's the Badgers' C.C. Crawford. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler. He is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We will be live in Seattle, Washington for a special preview of the Packers taking on the Seahawks. Trigvi Olsen joins me live, as well as our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 14 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, becoming breezy, mostly cloudy, 7 above. Tomorrow, some freezing rain in the morning, changing to snow in the afternoon. Amounts will be light, but roads will get slick. Our high tomorrow, 31. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 11 below.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, a review of the latest Trump transition troubles with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The Zone.
It's a Friday morning and weather is improving. That's the way I want to start my day. Welcome in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on a Friday the 13th. Weather-wise, things are starting to improve a little bit. Still going to have plenty of clouds around today. Highs near 20 degrees, which is considerably better than yesterday. Still winds impacting us, though, taking our wind chills between 5 above and 5 below. Tomorrow, we've actually got rain, likely, probably in the afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies on Saturday, 37 our expected high. For Sunday, another 20% chance of rain in the forecast, highs around 41. And Monday, we'll actually see temperatures go to around 44 degrees. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, of course, is on the way with the weather details you're looking for. We have more details about an announcement yesterday from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. We've got another case of high path avian influenza. A poultry flock in Barron County has tested positive. We'll give you all the details you need to know about that. We're also visiting about how people can kind of take care of themselves during the holiday season. It can be an isolating time for an awful lot of people. There are resources available out there for your friends, your family, yourself to tap into to make it through the holiday season. That's another one of the conversations on the way.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer. But did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
It's that time of the year when we've got a lot of conventions, farm organizations, commodity groups coming together. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Some of those groups are large, others a little bit smaller. I had a chance to catch up with the Family Farm Defenders. This is a small farm organization that finds its roots in Wisconsin, but members from literally across the United States, around the world. And their goal? Reminding consumers about food sovereignty. I spoke with one of their young members, a Fond du Lac native who now lives and teaches in San Francisco, but still finds the draw of farming in Wisconsin enough to bring him home, especially for the Family Farm Defenders Convention. His name, Anthony Ponke. He hails from Fond du Lac County, and as he explains, it's the love of producing his own food that keeps him involved in Family Farm Defenders and their food sovereignty message, as well as working towards coming back home and producing his own food in Fond du Lac County.
Yeah, so right now, my family, we live in Oakland, California. I teach at the San Francisco State University. And while I do that, I do work on agriculture. I do research in agriculture, and I stay part of movements. Mm-hmm. So I'm a board member, vice president of the Family Farm Defenders. Actually, before my grandfather passed in 2014, and before he passed, a couple of years beforehand, I actually took him to some Family Farm Defender, meetings, but also to meet some of the folks who are in this organization. Mm-hmm. And we actually, my grandparents and uncles also were active in the National Farmers Organization, the NFO, back in the 60s, and they did the milk actions. And I grew up hearing of those stories. And so I always knew that there was, lots of problems in dairy. And I grew up hearing about those things, and I always heard that farmers, we mobilized, but we weren't very effective. And then I heard of other groups like Family Farm Defenders that was still talking about these issues. And so I brought my family. We started talking. I got more involved. And so anyways, I live in the Bay Area. I'm actually trying to kind of, we're thinking about finding ways to, if we would move back or how, because right now we still have a family farm. We don't milk cows now, but we have, we're starting with my cousin, but we're also with my wife too, has a catering business. Mm-hmm. We're trying to start production up again. We rent a lot of the land, but we're trying to grow corn for tortillas to make into corn flour. So we're kind of balancing these different areas, but we at some point, you know, want to get the farm back in operation.
And what keeps you passionate about that? I mean, the struggles of agriculture today seem different than when your grandfather might have been involved in some of the movement back in the 70s or that. What keeps you, I guess, kind of coming back, Anthony? Mm-hmm.
One thing is my family, because there's like the history of the family, like my grandparents, and then, you know, my mother, if you go into my parents' home, like there's pictures of not just my grandparents, but pictures of my great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents. And I grew up hearing these stories and the sacrifice and the struggle of them. There's people that we, you know, I think it's a great uncle or someone who died on the farm. They never found his body. And it's like there's all these like stories and mm-hmm. struggle and people even, you know, getting hurt. And stories of like my grandfather, it was the day of my mother's wedding to my father, and he had a serious problem, like a broken leg, and he was in a cast. And he said, "I'm not walking down the aisle with my daughter wearing a cast." So he cuts off his cast and walks my mother down the aisle. You know, that kind of sacrifice. And so I see that, and I grew up with those values and those ideas, and it's really important to me. And then there's that, and then at the same time, I mean, I also like growing food. For some reason, I don't know, everywhere I've lived in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, but I lived in Minneapolis, I live in the Bay Area, I've always had gardens, and I've always grown food. And during the pandemic, we moved back. Mm-hmm. So we moved back in 2020, and we lived from 2020 to 2022 in Fond du Lac on the farm, and we turned over a couple acres into food production, and we sold at the Fond du Lac Farmers Market. And we sold not just products, but we sold produce, but we also sold salsa, and we made tacos, and people liked it. And so I've always had a knack for, my wife's a great cook, so she's the cook and I'm the grower. So we grew tomatoes and peppers and cilantro and onions, and then we started making deals with neighbors and trading things. And so I really like the practical growing thing. That's one thing that I love. I've always loved since I was a little kid with our gardens, but I still do it everywhere I go. I'm always growing food.
Mm-hmm. And so that's really what motivates you to kind of still stay committed. Tell me about this organization, what you've seen happening over the past decade.
Decade? I would say, I've been involved for like 15 years, 10 years, but like the thing is, one issue is I think our membership has somewhat changed. There used to be more dairy farmers who are in the membership, and that small-scale dairy, organic dairy farmers. And our membership has changed now to become more. There still are some dairy farmers, some organic dairy farmers, small-scale folks, but there's also fruit and vegetable growers, also some more workers that become more involved, some consumers. So the group is really a mix of different people who are involved in different areas of the food system. Yeah. So right, you know, at our meeting we're having now, we have people who are grain farmers, people who are do fruits and vegetables, people who are work on farms, people who are dairy farmers, people who are retired dairy farmers. Yeah. That's kind of like what's
compendium. Mm-hmm.
And then what's really interesting is how despite it being a small group as far as numbers, the perspective on the globe is very high profile here. I've heard conversations about Cuba. Mm-hmm. I just interviewed farmers that are here from Spain. Mm-hmm. That global awareness.
So that is actually something that the organization has been involved since its origins, really in the 90s, the group began. And then in 1999, many people here at this meeting actually went to the protest, the WTO protest in Seattle. And they realized, and they met folks from all over the place. They met people from Spain, from Europe, or from India, from all over the world. And they realized that a lot of the problems that farmers have in the United States are problems that farmers have all over the world. A lot of free trade deals are not working for farmers. They're taking their power away, hurting prices and so on. And so a lot of the farmers here recognize, and they've been going to Cuba, going all over the world to meet people. And when they're learning from one another, they're also seeing that their problems are very similar. So the international element has been key since the beginning. Like, we know that if we organize here and we get change here, like, it's important, but it'd be more important if we can organize people and also work together across the world. And that's why we have folks from Spain here.
It is eye-opening. You mentioned a few people have been involved in those kinds of organized things here. Have you been international? Have you seen these protests, these demonstrations, these movements in motion, I guess?
So I haven't been to Europe. for the organization. I actually spent time in Brazil.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of organizations who are allies with us that are in Brazil, and they actually do similar kinds of actions. Like the Spanish farmers are very active in terms of the protests and going to the cities and the government buildings. Yeah. And in Brazil, there's organizations that actually do land occupations. Folks who are workers who occupy land. But we're talking like sometimes public land that's not used,
right.
But sometimes like huge, huge operations, ranches of like 50,000 acres, and they're not being used. Or maybe there's a couple cows here and there. They're like kind of held by like these really rich families.
Yeah.
So I went and I did some work with those organizations. They're allies of our organization.
Yeah.
And like kind of like, wow, how is it farmers? And I got interested in that group because they also organize co-ops.
Oh, okay.
So like
sure.
My grandfather and uncles were all active in organizing dairy co-ops. And a lot of them, I mean, they had some success, but it was challenging.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of issues with co-ops in the United States. And here we have a group in Brazil that was organizing dairy co-ops and other kinds of, you know, grain co-ops. And so I was really curious how these small farmers were taking land and then organizing co-ops. So that's some of the, and I was in some of the protests in Brazil with folks doing organizing, particularly for land. And then they organized for co-ops.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Do you see, is there an appeal to this message today, Anthony, that maybe we didn't see prior to the pandemic, let's say? Do you think that there's an opportunity for momentum like this to gain, not just internationally, but right back here in the United States, now that consumers are maybe acutely aware of where their food comes from and is produced?
Yeah, the pandemic, I think, did shock people to think about, and not just the idea of food shortages, that seeing like milk being dumped, yep, and vegetables being plowed under and so on, and stuff like that. You see, like, and it's, I think it makes people pause for a minute, be like, they're thinking like, how do I get food in the grocery store? Why are folks destroying perfectly good food? What's going on? Like, and then you know that the schools were closed for a time. They reopen up, and people are like, I think it got people thinking about what's going on with food. And I think a lot of people have also then, some people started planting gardens. Some people bought chickens and so on. People are trying to think about like, how can they get a better control over their food system? You know, I think one thing is like, we, in our organization, we want people, farmers, to grow food and people to eat food. Not necessarily ingredients, but food, like actually good grown food, right? Because too often we end up eating ingredients, not really food.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, and there's, but I think it's also dangerous because people can, you know, a lot going on in the world these days, people can get distracted. And so like the pandemic woke people up, and then I think people maybe went back to sleep a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the folks from Spain, you know, that's kind of what they encountered.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really interesting that maybe now's the moment we have to rekindle that energy, get people thinking again.
And they were during the Family Farm Defenders annual meeting and conference in Prairie du Sac. That's Anthony Pankey from Fond du Lac originally, now teaching and living in San Francisco, but still drawn to food production and trying to come back home to Wisconsin. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, we can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right, Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass, though. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Dom Selvia.
Just PS here. Dom's out for a few days, so we've got friends filling in. Next time, join Civic Media's sports director, Jimmy Cuska, for, you guessed it, sports talk and local news.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Battle against the weather, and granted, this week was not like... It wasn't that big a deal, but it is nice to already feel a change in the air out there this morning.
Yeah, it was one of those where that cold air really sunk in and felt really cold in the mid part of the week. And like you say, now we're going to improve. I look ahead, it makes me feel warm inside because I know those temperatures are really going to climb. You know, for a lot of us across the southern half of Wisconsin, our normal daytime high is about 33 degrees. It's only close to 30 in the northwest part of the state. And I start looking at temps for tomorrow and Sunday, and there's going to be a lot of 30s. Far southern Wisconsin could have a 40 on Sunday. That's going to be a real warm spell, and we're, you know, acclimating to our colder December weather. So once we talk upper 30s and almost 40, it does seem kind of warm, and that certainly may be something you notice here for the weekend, but we don't get off scot-free. We just don't get a warm-up. High pressure starting to pull east away from the state today, and that's still going to mean some sunshine, but clouds will be developing in. And the clouds develop ahead of the next system, low pressure, just climbing out of the Rockies. I talked about it, heading east near southern Nebraska, northern Kansas, turning east then into Missouri, up into Illinois, heading toward far southwest Wisconsin by late Saturday night into early Sunday. That one could bring some precipitation in. In the south, a mix of rain, maybe a little freezing rain, some snow. Further north, more likely just some very light snow. We don't expect a great deal of precipitation, maybe up to a tenth of an inch if you see rain. If it's snow, not even an inch. But the factor is, it could be freezing. That rain could freeze on surfaces. So slippery, icy conditions becoming a little more likely as we head through Saturday night into Sunday morning, especially in the southern half of Wisconsin. Further north, a little more likelihood of snow, and even there, not all that heavy. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump. Patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Well, maybe riding an ATV, UTV this weekend in the woods is part of the plan. It feels like that weather is going to allow for that, huh, Stu?
Yeah, we aren't going to have to worry about being too cold, but there will be that little precipitation. So our Compere Financial Ag Weather Update does call for some sun early today, but clouds will develop first in the west, then further east into the upper teens in the north, low 20s in southern Wisconsin. A nice change. Northeast, east winds about 5 to 10. Mostly cloudy overnight. Temperatures may, in fact, begin to rise somewhat for some of us. We end up in the low 20s tomorrow morning with the southeast winds at 5 to 10. A winter weather advisory, midnight tonight till 6 p.m. tomorrow, right along that Mississippi, the Mississippi River border between Minnesota and Wisconsin. Areas to the west right now under that winter weather advisory. Keep an eye on that in the west, because tomorrow I expect more clouds and some rain in the south, mixing with a little snow later on, some light snow in the north. temps pushing up low 30s north, mid or upper 30s in the south. And by Sunday, Pam, maybe a little rain lingering in the south, a little light snow north. A cloudy day, but 30s and maybe a 40 in the southern part of Wisconsin with a light south breeze. We shouldn't feel too chilly right through the weekend. I mean, we don't have 40-mile-hour winds at all. Yeah.
I'll take that. I'll take that. Very good, my friend. All right, good luck with your tasks. We'll catch you Monday.
All right, see you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, joining us with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial, your financial partner, be it agriculture or rural life. Check it out all online at compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. As President-elect Donald Trump plans his inauguration next month, there are some potential new wrinkles, says ABC's Mary Bruce.
Donald Trump has invited Chinese President Xi to attend his inauguration next month, an unusual move. And he also plans to invite other world leaders as well. But we've just learned that Chinese President Xi is declining that invitation, though he could send another high-level official in his place.
Final days of President Biden's term in office, and he's carried out the largest single-day act of clemency in American history, commuting the sentences of about 1,500 people. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Turkey said there's a growing consensus in the region to support the Syrian people following the ouster of Bashar Assad. Sources tell ABC News prosecutors in New York are presenting evidence to a grand jury as they work to secure an indictment against the suspected killer of the United Healthcare CEO and a monster wintry storm leaving a mess from Wisconsin to Rhode Island. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Variety reports that there will be a new version of the film American Psycho. Good Lord. Even though this doesn't need to happen on any level, a new interpretation of the novel of the same name will star Austin Butler as Patrick Bateman. The red-hot Luca Guadagnino will direct the film. Guadagnino's two most recent efforts are Queer, starring Daniel Craig, and Challengers, starring Zendaya. Both films were nominated for Golden Globes. And things a really talented and incredibly famous guy says that nobody cares about news, the great Elton John says making marijuana legal in Canada and the U.S. is one of the greatest mistakes of all time. Exaggerate much? John was recently named Time Magazine's Icon of the Year and told Time Magazine that as a recovering addict, he believes marijuana is addictive. I'm not saying when he wrote Tiny Dancer, Rocket Man, or Benny and the Jets that he was high, but he might have been high. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Packers and the Seahawks Sunday night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers take on the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday night football. Green Bay hoping some of their players are ready to return to action, like linebacker Edgerrin Cooper, who's been impressive as a rookie until he suffered a hamstring injury in practice 3 weeks ago.
It means a lot. It's been a long, long 3 weeks. I'm just ready to go out there and just play as hard as I could and make plays.
NBA, the Bucks are in Vegas. They face the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow at 3:30 in the NBA Cup semifinals. Women's college volleyball tonight, NCAA regionals, the Badgers in Lincoln, Nebraska, for a rematch with Texas A&M, a team they beat 2 months ago. Wisconsin C.C. Crawford asked how they've improved.
We've grown so much as a team, not only on the court, but off the court. One thing we worked on the beginning of the year was communication, and we've excelled in that. Obviously, we played them earlier in the season, but they're a different team now. It's been 2 months. Same thing for us. We're a different team now, so it'll be a fun matchup.
That's the Badgers C.C. Crawford. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area to break down all the news, and we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 14 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, becoming breezy, mostly cloudy, 7 above. Tomorrow, some freezing rain in the morning, changing to snow in the afternoon. Amounts will be light, but roads will get slick. Our high tomorrow, 31. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 11 below.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have state updates today, including North Carolina's Supreme Court race and a power grab by its legislature, ranked choice voting in Alaska, and more charges in Wisconsin for Donald Trump's fake elector scheme advisors. We reported December 11th that a GOP state Supreme Court candidate who lost by 734 votes and failed in two recounts asked the North Carolina Election Board to invalidate 60,000 voters. North Carolina Newsline reports that in a 3-2 vote Wednesday, the board rejected that request, though a court appeal is likely. Also December 11th, the North Carolina legislature overrode Governor Roy Cooper's veto of a bill designed to strip power from the incoming Democratic governor and attorney general. In an attempt to retain GOP power before it loses its supermajority, the authority to appoint election board members was shifted to the state auditor, a Republican. The attorney general was also stripped of any ability to bring suit against legislation proposed by the legislature. In Alaska, a recount of the attempted repeal of ranked choice voting and open primaries is complete. The repeal failed by 0.25%. In Wisconsin, 10 additional felony forgery charges were brought against Trump campaign advisors, attorney Jim Trupas, attorney Kenneth Chesbro, and Election Day director Mike Roman. We have links to more on all of these stories at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though, hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanellis says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s, and it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you can't have just one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating him for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I predicted them 12-5 to start the year. It feels to me like that's exactly where they're headed. I thought 12-5.
You know, for a lot of us, the holidays are a lot of fun. You get together with friends, families, co-workers, but, you know, there's also a lot of people that experience a lot of sadness and loneliness during the holidays. They may not have the group of people around them that you do, and that can cause a lot of stress. Plus, add in financial strain. Maybe it's the first year without someone. All of it compounds those feelings of isolation and loneliness. Well, there are tools available to try to help you make it through the holiday season. And that includes our Wisconsin farm families. You know, a lot of them are isolated. They are also feeling financial strain. Amber Miller with AARP of Wisconsin is going to share a couple different resources that you might want to tap into if you feel some of that sadness during the holiday season. Stand by for that conversation. Welcome back, everybody. It's a Friday Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Yeah, Friday the 13th, no less. Did you remember that on this day back in 2003, Saddam Hussein was captured? The American forces found him in a camouflaged hole in the ground near Tikrit. After a trial where he was found guilty, he ultimately was executed after his capture in December 2006. But they found him in the hole on this date, 2003. Boy, all kinds of happy birthdays today. Can you believe it? Actor, dancer, Dick Van Dyke, 99 years young, and I see he was one of the actors that was displaced by the Malibu fires recently. 99, Dick Van Dyke. Steve Buscemi is 67. Jamie Foxx, 57 today. Ted Nugent, that Michigan native, he turned 76. And oh my goodness, I can just imagine how the tabloids are going to cover her birthday party. Taylor Swift is 35. And now you know. Well, we want you to know that Wisconsin has detected another case of high-path avian influenza, this time in a commercial poultry flock in Barron County. That's the word from Wisconsin State Veterinarian Dr. Darlene Conkle. She also explained to us yesterday how they are monitoring the area geographically to make sure that that high-path avian influenza does not spread.
In that area, what we do is, at least initially, establish a 10-kilometer, which amounts to about 6.2 miles, control area surrounding the infected flock, where we will pull premises numbers for poultry and for other potentially susceptible species. I don't have all the numbers to hand just yet. We have looked and we have not determined any cattle in that 10-kilometer area through our premises registration numbers, but obviously there are other poultry flocks in that area as well. That we will be looking at for surveillance and to contact them.
Dr. Darlene Conkle, she's our Wisconsin State Veterinarian. As of yesterday, according to USDA, there were 10 states that were actively involved in about 95 cases of high-path avian influenza. Again, this is the bird population, nothing about livestock. Dr. Conkle said they'll be depopulating that commercial flock in Barron County and continuing to monitor area farms. She's just continuing to encourage all livestock owners, all bird owners, to exercise good biosecurity measures because obviously those wild birds are still passing over Wisconsin. Down at the state capitol, she's passing over the baton. Wisconsin Senator Joan Bollwig, chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, was kind of cleaning things out this week. She is going to be exiting at the end of the calendar year after losing her reelection bid for her Senate seat. I had a chance to visit with Joan yesterday, and she said she's leaving behind a to-do list for the next senator in her place.
A couple of things that were introduced last year but didn't get to the finish line, there were still a lot of negotiating going on. And one was providing for a template for a carbon calculator so that DATCAP could contract a private entity, maybe a university, to put something out on their website that farmers could go to, you know, figure out what they're doing on their farms that contributes to carbon, as you know, some of the big companies are asking farmers, you know, what they're doing. And I think there's private consultants that can do that, of course, but we don't have anything that says what are the practices that you've been doing maybe for years, whether it's conservation tillage or other things. What is actually that value? So if you are asked by someone that is you sell something to as a processor, what's the value of what you've been doing? So looking forward to hopefully we get that done. And another thing that has come up in many states, and it has not been a high priority in Wisconsin, but we are concerned on ownership of land by foreign entities. And we had two competing pieces of legislation in the committee last year to have a foreign entity own acres of land adjacent to one of our U.S. military bases is one thing, but then also to have foreign company owning some of our processors that have been good partners, that's good business. So how do we separate those things for sure?
A to-do list for sure. That's Wisconsin Senator Joan Bollwig, who has been a part of the state legislature since 2004. What's the next step for Joan? She said, well, the kids tell her she needs to see her grandkids more. Her husband tells her he's still got work for her at the implement dealership they own in Marquesan.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
End of the year savings and hot deals at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. All new in-stock Bobcat equipment and attachments are marked down and ready to get to work for you. Skid steers, mini excavators, compact tractors, snow removal equipment, and more. As always, full service and parts whenever you need it. End of the year savings and hot bargain Bobcat deals happening now at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. Visit a showroom in your area or bobcatplus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal. Dairy had a good day yesterday in Chicago. The barrel cheese was up 5.5 at 173. 40-pound block cheese, 3.75 cents higher at 178.75. While AA butter went down 0.25 cents, 252.5 per pound. Actually, the markets are pretty quiet this morning in Chicago. Corn, for example, is unchanged, both nearby and new crop. January soybeans are down a nickel at 9.90. November beans are down 4 at 10.10. March wheat's down 2, 5.56. July new crop down 1.5 cents at 5.73. The January class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's down 11 right now, 20.14 a hundredweight. Coming up, I know that a lot of us enjoy getting together through the holiday season. Maybe you're stressed out because you've got so many things that you're trying to get done during the holiday season. Now, flip that in the opposite direction. You are alone. Maybe you lost someone at this time a year ago. It's your first holiday season by yourself. That can create a feeling of isolation, loneliness. Tools to help you cope. That's on the way.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is a community reminder from Buzz of the North. There's a free kids movie each Thursday at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library located right in Hayward. And that happens Thursday from 10:30 a.m. until 12:30. And this is a weekly event, happens each Thursday. Again, a kids movie at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library in Hayward each Thursday from 10:30 until 12:30. Community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Nikki Zurjev and I talk about our favorite comedies. Brittany Merlot gives us an overview of the weather this winter. And Terry Barr brings the tunes on a bar band Friday night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Amber Miller from AARP is along with us today. She's their Senior Associate State Director of Community Outreach. And I'll tell you what, Amber, we have talked about this situation time and time again. It seems most amplified around the holidays. You know, I don't know how much science there is to explaining why, you know, older folks tend to get very lonely at this time of the year.
Yeah, and Pam, thank you always for your support with AARP. And this topic right here, to me, you know, loneliness and social isolation has been an issue, but I think COVID-19 really put a spotlight on it, and the holidays just even amplify it more. So I'm happy to be here today, and hopefully your listeners, you know, whether it's something they resonate with or if it's something they can pass along to a neighbor, but hopefully we can, you know, help out this holiday season and really, all, you know, every day during the year.
Absolutely. Now, AARP has so many tools available for folks, not just about this one situation, but many. AARP.org is a website you hear us reference often. Let's talk a little bit, Amber, about maybe the science behind why our 50-plus population feels so isolated. I think you touched on it. The pandemic definitely drove all of us into those dark corners sometimes. Correct. But tell me a little bit about why the 50-plus seem to feel it more, and if things like technology are helping us, hurting us. Give me a little sense on that.
Yeah. So, you know, really, when you think about it, we have to think about, like, what is causing the loneliness, especially in older adults. There could be a lot of different factors. You know, there could be the social isolation part, which is limited social interaction. And it could be due to physical distance from family and friends. It could be the loss of social connections, especially after retirement or death of a loved one. Could be health issues like chronic illness, disabilities, mobility issues, living alone, I think, is huge. Many older adults live alone, which really could lead to feelings of isolation, and really particularly in those who have very few visitors or just friends and family nearby. And then lastly, as you kind of said, Pam, is that technological barriers. Older adults may struggle to adapt to new technology. We also have to keep in mind that not everybody even has internet, and sometimes they might not even have a laptop or a computer to use. So those are just some of the barriers, some of the instances where that can really amplify the loneliness.
For sure. Again, if you're joining us, Amber Miller along with us from AARP. And I remind you, resources they've got available, it's all available, just one click, aarp.org. Let's do a little deeper dive, though, on those resources, Amber, because I'm always impressed, and I always remind people, it's not about being a member of AARP, although we'd sure love you to be, but it is about knowing that access is there. We've got a lot of caretakers out there, a lot of family members that might be reconnecting. You've got some great spots on that website for people to turn to.
Yes. So there are, I will tell you, Pam, there are a lot of resources out there. I want to just highlight three main ones, but a lot of other information could be found on the AARP.org website. So one is the AARP Friendly Voice Program. This actually launched during the beginning of COVID-19, and it has trained, caring volunteers who are ready to chat and listen or just say hello. This is free. You do not need to be a member, and it's actually open to anybody 18 years and older. There's two ways. I know you're going to post the website, but there's the phone number for that is 1-888-281-0145. You can leave a message, and one of our volunteers will call you back. The other is the AARP Virtual Community Center. I love this. I'm obsessed with it. Once again, you don't have to be a member. This is good if you do have access to technology. You could take virtual art tours, you can take cooking lessons, you can do, you know, virtual walking clubs. All of that is free. That's also on our website. And then for AARP, of course, is part of the Wisconsin Coalition for Social Connection, which is huge. So if you go to connectwi.org, you could see additional information and resources on how to connect with maybe your local aging disability resource center or senior centers or community center. So those are the three resources that I want to share with you and your listeners today.
Boy, those are wonderful too, Amber. Now, I have just out of curiosity, when we reference the pandemic, it's been a little while. Any idea on how many people are accessing those kinds of services? I think a lot of us have gotten more comfortable doing a whole lot more online. But how about our 50 plus? Are we seeing them actually tap into these wonderful resources, that free call service I'd never heard of before?
I know the free call center. I will say I do. I would like for more people to use it. I do think it's one of the programs that AARP, you know, of course, we could market it better. And that's the reason why I love that we're on your radio show, because your listeners, you know, can pass along that information and they could take it upon themselves. There still is a gap that we've seen with the 50 and older community using technology. You know, folks still like to see people and touch papers and make phone calls. But I do think that during COVID-19, it did kind of push people and encourage people to use technology. So, you know, I think we can, you know, empower our neighbors and ourselves to use, you know, the internet to find all these resources. But it's still that good old fashioned knock on your neighbor's door, invite them for a walk or for a cup of coffee and connect and, you know, and try to engage them. That really does make the world of difference.
Well, and as you point out, it isn't difficult, but it is something that we may need to remind people about, Amber, reminding each other, hey, mom and dad are in the middle of Wisconsin and there's a snowstorm or something like that. Doesn't have to be about the holidays. Maybe it is just about how dull things can get during this time of the year, weather-wise.
I agree. I always say we kind of hibernate in Wisconsin from about November to May. And we have to keep in mind that social isolation and loneliness is 365 days a year, amplified during the holidays. But, you know, think of the ways, you know, making sure that you're connecting with friends and family, a phone call. I feel like we're, you know, in that generation where we text or, you know, we email, but like pick up the phone and call them, see how they're doing. I, you know, I make a point to talk to my mom and my dad, you know, once, twice a week, always seeing how they're doing. And I know my mom enjoys our phone calls. We can catch up on TV shows that we're watching and gossip. And we have to just keep in mind how much maybe in your life you're busy right now, but how much that phone call means to that other person or that visit means to that other person.
Oh, you are such a sweetheart for bringing this up. Again, yeah. Amber Miller along with us. She's the Senior Associate State Director of Outreach with AARP of Wisconsin, and some fantastic resources, of course, available to anybody. Although we'd love for you to be a member of AARP, these resources are available to anybody. And in case you missed the three that Amber highlighted, the AARP Friendly Voice, trained, caring volunteers that will chat, listen, or just say hello to somebody that you request them to call. 888-281-0145. Free for people 18 years and older. Then there's the AARP Virtual Community Center. And then, of course, they're a part of the Wisconsin Coalition for Social Connection, just trying to help people combat isolation and loneliness. ConnectWI.org. All this information brought to you courtesy of our friends at AARP of Wisconsin. Stay connected with those that you love. Amber Miller, Associate State Director of Outreach for AARP of Wisconsin, along with us.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Ho ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho ho ho!
Some bumps in the road to agricultural sustainability. Today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
As sustainable agriculture moves toward becoming practical rather than theoretical, there are a few complications. The head of Farm Journal's Trust in Food Initiative is Amy Cole, who moderated a recent webinar on empowering farmers to become sustainable.
And what I'm seeing is definitely a time of regrouping. We're seeing companies start to realize that those 2030 goals that they set are not so far in the future. We're seeing that there are increased requirements for proof for making claims, which is probably net-net a good thing, but that also comes with a burden of record-keeping and data. And we see budgets tightening.
Cole suggests addressing the problems by focusing on the people part of the equation.
Behind every acre, behind every molecule of carbon is a human being making a decision on their operation that supports their family and that has impact across them and their community. And too often we forget that these are human beings making decisions that are complex and multifaceted. But when we remember to put the human at the center of our efforts to serve producers with what they need, we start to see amazing things happen.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We will be live in Seattle, Washington for a special preview of the Packers taking on the Seahawks. Trigvi Olsen joins me live, as well as our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden commuted the prison sentences of hundreds of people. White House officials say most were released from prison and placed on home confinement during the pandemic. In all, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says about 1,500 people are getting clemency.
Today's actions build on the president's record of criminal justice reform to help reunite families, strengthen communities, and reintegrate individuals back into society.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Turkey said it's imperative to keep ISIS down following the end of Bashar Assad's regime in Syria. Elected leaders in New Jersey continue to criticize the federal government's response to nighttime drone sightings over the state. White House said there's no indication they pose a national security or public safety threat. And a monster wintry storm leaving a mess from Wisconsin to Rhode Island. The California-Nevada border could see 4 feet of snow this weekend. This is ABC News.